And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror!
Well, howdy there, my high-voltage hellions. I've got a little jolt for you, gigawatt-level geeks. As I'm sure many of you know, the original VHS tape of tonight's film had a special shock track that would administer electrical blasts at the appropriate time in the movie when the VCR is hooked through a car battery and connected to the viewer via jumper cables. Well, I happen to have that rare VHS tape, and have snapped myself in for Wes Craven's shocker. While most people seem to go for the nipple option, I, myself, have chosen to rig up my testicles. Here, meet them. This is Lucille, and this is Basket. I'm planning on doing what the kids call riding the lightning. Okay, let's get this started. Here we go. Okay. Oh! Enjoy the show!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror. I am one of your hosts, as always, Mr. Luke Giaconetti. I would like to thank everyone for downloading and listening to our show today, but I can't do this one by myself. I need an ensemble to round things out on this particular program. So, super group, there you go. And you heard him there, so introducing first, the hair metal hero, Chris Tyler.
Come on, boy. Let's take a ride in my Volkswagen.
Oh, boy. It's going to be one of those types of shows. And then you heard him right there.
It's that kind of movie.
Two Freaks OG, Chris Honeywell.
This Barker Lounger's going to kick your ass, boy. So I'm right on the trend.
Yep. And then, of course, rounding it out, my brother, Mr. Jason Giaconetti.
Come on, you fucker. Move!
That was one of my backups.
The little girl.
It's technically a horse finger, girl. Just in the different body. All right.
But no one went with finger looking good. I was someone was going with that one, so I didn't bother. Or what was the other one? Oh shit. You just can't
Showtime.
Go. Showtime. Yeah. Well, you can't go around killing people just to get pinker out of their bodies.
Yes.
You know. I guess not. I mean,
did you figure out what movie we're talking about yet?
Yeah, if you might have guessed, and if you can't, the line that I always use, of course, is "No more Mr. Nice Guy," because we are taking a look at Set Your Wayback Machine to 1989, and it's Wes Craven's shocker, because of course it is. Of course it is. And I'm not going to bury the lead here. This is our horror rec hanger-on. I'm going to hold up to the microphone here. This is the MCA home video release of Shocker on VHS from 1989. It is a beautiful tape. It has the one the one image everybody knows of Horace Pinker, my boy and yours, Mitch Pileggi. You might remember him as Skinner from the X-Files.
Skinner?
Skinner? That show ran for how many years and they never did that? And they were on Fox. They were on the same damn channel.
9 years. Two legacy series.
Yep. But anyway, so it's got Mitch Pileggi as Horace Pinker sitting in the electric chair with all the sparks flying off of him in his orange and checker inmates uniform. And it says, "No more Mr. Nice Guy." So this one played a lot on VHS, played a lot on cable television. I have a lot of memories watching this one on cable TV. And it is wild. That is, I think, the only word that you can describe this.
Well, it's Freddy Krueger 2.0.
I have been waiting. Well, that's the weird thing about this. So the thing with Shocker is, again, I've heard it described as this was Craven's response to what A Nightmare on Elm Street had become by this point, which is why it has more comedy in it. But the thing with Shocker is that it starts off pretty serious.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And the first, I'd say the first act and then a good portion of the second act are very serious, and then things just go bananas in the third act.
I don't know how you can take anything serious at football practice. That is the most fucked up football practice ever.
Yeah.
You know what? I gotta say this.
Robinette was fucking
clearly
around.
But clearly, concussion protocol not a thing in 1989,
so,
right?
No.
So... Yeah, so Wes Craven had said originally that he was hoping that he envisioned this to be the next, like, Friday, the next Nightmare on Elm Street would be a series, but it didn't do well at the box office, so it kind of killed off the idea. The other problem is, supposedly this was submitted to the MPAA 13 times to get a full rating. There was a whole bunch of scenes that are famously been cut from it. But then they cut major parts of, like, certain scenes, and then they kept having to send it back. They kept saying nope. And I'm like thinking to myself, going, I mean, it's 1989. Like, by this point, we had other things that were pretty freaking harsh. Like, it's not like this movie's so harsh that the things they cut were going to somehow be over the edge. But it's also, but it was right in the time when they started kind of like lashing back and cutting more than they needed to. Jason Takes Manhattan is a perfect example. That movie was cut to ribbons compared to what it was supposed to be, because they just started like, "Well, we're going to cut everything now." So
the one cut I've always remembered of this that was cut to help get the X rating is in prison when he bites the guard's fingers off. The scene that's cut is him spitting them out.
Yep.
Aww. And it's like, okay, that would have been awesome, but that might be a bit much for the MPAA.
Man.
Yeah. Well, the other big ones were the electrocution is much more graphic and it goes on quite a bit longer. And then when that coach is possessed, he stabs himself in his hand. That's a much, much longer scene. Like all that stuff. It's just trimming everything down. But it's like, we all know this. Sometimes when you're trimming things down because you gotta, make it safe, it makes it worse because you're like, wait, what? Your mind starts filling in things way worse than they're gonna put on the screen.
I mean, that's been going on since 1931 with Frankenstein. I mean, you just see Frankenstein and the girl, and then cut, and then oh shit, she's dead. You don't know what the fuck happened.
They've restored that now, and it doesn't.
I know.
The same punch.
It's not. It's not.
So, but anyway,
this one I remember the TV ads for this one, and of course I remember the soundtrack for this one. Of course,
yes,
I remember the soundtrack for this one. Fucking Bonfire, Megadeth, shit.
Come
on. I mean, the thing is that the soundtrack for this, that it's all heavy metal. It seems. At first, it seems like gimmicky, but then you watch it and you're like, "Yeah, it's kind of perfect, isn't it?"
Yeah.
And the people that they get, right, like Iggy Pop and Alice Cooper, and that we made Paul Stanley. We made a joke about the super group, right? So there is a super group here, which is the Dudes of Wrath, which is, So that's, like I said, Paul Stanley, you know, Desmond Child, Vivian Campbell, you know, Guy Mandude, you know, I mean, Tommy Lee is on drums for crying out loud. I'm forgetting some people in here, King but it's Roberts. Like, it's, I mean, and then you get, like I said, one of my favorite Megadeth covers, and Megadeth has been known to do a few covers, but no more Mr. Nice Guy. My favorite Alice Cooper song covered by my favorite American rock band of all time, right? And then used in a Wes Craven movie,
right?
It's friggin' perfect. Never mind the fact that I'm almost certain that Alice Cooper is Dave Mustaine's godfather when Dave Mustaine found Christianity.
No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Mr. Nice Guy, me a nice guy. Yeah, right.
Mari goes, why do you listen to them? I'm like, because if cynicism, angst, and paranoia had a voice, it would be Dave Mustaine.
You know, one of the weird things I've noticed about Megadeth is I first heard of Megadeth not through my metalhead friends.
Decline of Western Civilization?
Through my deadhead friends. No.
Really?
So many Grateful Deadhead hippie people loved Megadeth. Loved Megadeth. And you would see, like, I remember my friend Ken's record collection, which was all, like, weirdo psychedelic music, Grateful Dead, and then Megadeth. Like, and I'm like, what is it? He's like, it's the lyrics, man. It's the lyrics.
Yeah, I could see that. Dave's lyrics usually did have something to them, you know.
Yeah.
Although I've got one guy that I coach with. He insists on, I think he's doing it just to piss me off at this point. He's a deadhead guy. And he keeps, you know, going on talking about all these hair metal bands I listen to. And I basically threatened to punch him in the mouth if he called Iron Maiden a hair metal band again.
Whoa. And I love hair metal too. Can you tell? I mean, it's my fucking name.
Yeah.
But Maiden, come on. They're in the front line of the Wobbum.
It's like when you say new wave British heavy metal and they stare at you like you got three heads, it's like, oh, I see. You're a moron. Got it. Thanks. Anyway, that has nothing to do with this movie. Because it's
except when it comes to metal. You know, you want to, it's semantics. I'll fucking jump down that fucking rabbit hole with you right now, man. I'll be like, yeah, you know what? That supergroup, The Firm, you know, it was Paul Rogers and Jimmy Page and Chris Slade. Like, that's some good shit, man. Don't be slagging on that. Damn Yankees, come
also
on.
The Firm, also a really good, like, one of those early movie tie-in pornos.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Firm. You don't even need to change the name of the client.
Yeah, no. The Firm, the client, the Joy Suck Club. You know?
The club, you know, kind of
the Dress Pork.
Dick Man and Throbbing. I mean, there's a million of them. Come on.
Yeah.
But, again, none of this has anything to do with Shocker. But the thing about this movie is that I always get the idea that, you know, we talk about like some comic book artists and stuff need an editor to keep them reined in. And you almost wonder as if like Craven's just throwing everything he's got.
Fucking
and
everything.
Nobody's saying, you know, maybe we should save this for the sequel, or maybe we should take this back.
Right.
Because it just keeps building and building and building on it.
It's almost its own sequel. It starts out as a serious night, like
psychodrama,
Nightmare on Elm Street. It's still like it immediately starts out with like people in, you know, dreams figuring heavily into it, you know, and that creepy shot at the beginning of the optically printed little kids running across the street when you're, you know, and it wastes no time into going into a really, you know, it's got all the tropes, but it like really starts setting its precedence, and it's really creepy for the first at least half of the movie, and then it's like the sequel to the movie where, you know, Craven's always, you know, I think this is another, you know, sort of on the way to Scream, you know,
meta narrative.
He had ideas in his head that he was working on, and you can see some of them here that wouldn't get fully developed until later, and, you know, making fun of his own sort of stuff. But man, the transition from like a sort of earnest but not super realistic movie to pure comedy cheese at the end
as Pink is locked up, it's like the best fucking off.
And he was an actual scary villain and threatening right up until that point, and then it becomes just like, you know, a music video sort of by the end.
And even go ahead, Jay. Go ahead.
Sorry, the thing is you gotta keep in mind is there was Prison was 87, Destroyer was 88, and House 3, the horror show, which is just known as a horror show, was 89. They literally all came before Shocker, and they all deal with basically the exact same thing. So it's an electrocution death, and then the guy person comes back from the dead. Now, Prison is played completely straight. That's Viggo Mortensen, if I remember correctly.
Really?
Right? I think it's Viggo. I'm almost 100% sure.
Let's look that one up.
Prison's pretty good, isn't it? Viggo Mortensen, yeah. And Lane Smith is the other main guy.
Ooh, okay.
Destroyer is like super cheesy. The poster is the best thing for it. It's a guy like a guy with a skull face and whatever. But the horror show, right, which came out right before Shocker, a lot of times when people will describe the horror show, they're describing Shocker.
Oh yes,
because the two movies get tied together. Byron, fuck's his last name? Not Byron. With the guy from Blade Runner is the killer in horror
Rutger
show.
Hauer.
No.
James Olmos.
Oh fuck! Give me a second. Byron James.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Lance Hendrickson plays the cop. So Lance Hendrickson is the cop, and Byron James is the killer, right? He's Max Jenke. The horror show, which I know it's called House 3, it has fucking nothing to do with either any of the House movies. Not one, not two.
Yes. Well, as that series goes, yes.
Yeah. At least one and two kind of go together. Yes. And four kind of goes together because it ties it back in anyway. But the whole thing, a lot of people saw when Shocker was coming out, Horror Show was out. But Horror Show was playing on HBO or Cinemax or one of those things, like, you know, Showtime, whatever. And Shocker was kind of hitting theaters. So people saw Horror Show and then they saw Shocker and they've kind of made them into one movie. Because Horror Show is pretty good, but it's definitely played straight. Like, much more than Shocker. Shocker's much funnier at times, which is kind of strange to think about. Like, I mean, it's still, and I get it, it's Wes Craven, but it's like the some of the stuff in Shocker, and that's the way I was joking around about, like, the football practice and stuff like that. Like, that's some weird shit going on in their football practice, right? Like he literally gets tackled through the fucking table. He runs into the goalpost. Like, Paul Robinette from Law & Order can't, you know... I don't know. Are they supposed to be gay? I'm not sure. It's like they're doing, like, it's weird shit. And you're like, it's
super fucking weird.
Like, it's weird. But the thing is, but if it wasn't there, I don't know if, because they're trying to play that off so that you feel like, wow, Horace Pinkert's a really fucking disgusting guy. He's killing these people, murdering families and stuff. So I was wondering if you were playing that there. To give you the, like, kind of, you know, the balance to, like, here's this super dark, you know, this guy's killing everybody, but we need to have this kind of, like, weird shit to kind of throw you off.
Well, it would kind of explain Peter Berg's acting choices. It's like, what, rewatching this for the first time in years? It's like, no wonder this motherfucker became a director, because he can't act for shit.
That's the thing, he's concussed the entire movie.
Yes!
There you go, there's like, a good
he's
no
literally
for
concussed the first time that we see him. And the rest of the movie, he is suffering because he doesn't go into protocol. I mean, I'm making a joke, but I'm also not. I mean, he has some type of brain injury.
Yes.
And that makes him more susceptible to all this nonsense, right? How much of this is real? And how much of this is in Jonathan's fucking head, right?
The whole movie is the whole movie just takes place inside his head. At the very last scene,
it's like the end scene elsewhere, it's, you know?
That's right. It's like, I was saying, Saint Elsewhere, or the what do you call it,
Newhart.
Not Newhart. But I'm thinking, but it's that too. But it's like it was a soap opera on channel, like it was on ABC or something like that, and like they had a fire and it killed and
Saint
people
elsewhere,
lost
maybe.
No. But it was on during the soap opera during the day, and a child got killed in a fire, and everyone lost their shit. Like,
was
literally,
it General Hospital?
No, but it got canceled. Whatever it was one of the ones that got canceled. It was such a backlash that people were like, we don't give a, because they right back go, it was all a dream. They go, fuck you, you killed children, we're out. And it killed it off. But it's like Dallas, where all of a sudden you wake up because now we've re-signed, Patrick Duffy so he can come out of the shower.
You have to re-sign Patrick Duffy. I mean,
well, but they didn't at first, and that's why they killed him. Sorry, spoiler alert for a fucking, 50-year-old
show.
He's not in the shower. But anyway.
That's the only way to take your Patrick Duffy is in the shower.
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Signed in the shower before
Step by Step. The best show ever because you had a girl for every age. No matter what age you were watching Step by Step, there was a hot daughter that lined up with it.
Or a hot mom.
That
Never saw a single episode of Step by Step when it was airing first run, so I missed out on that.
You're not really
entirely.
Missing anything.
Yeah, come on, dude. That and then what's the other one with all the Elm Street girls in it? Just the 10 of us.
Eight's enough.
It was one of those.
No. Just the 10 of us. Eight is enough. They're all
with Dick Van Patten.
Yeah.
Because it's what Heather Landing Camp and what's her face?
Weightlifter from Five.
Yeah. Well, Heather Landing Camp's in this movie too.
Yes, she is. She's the victim. I love that she's the victim because all I can think, of course, anytime someone is called victim. Like in a movie or something, all I can think is Adam's Family Values.
Right?
I'll be the victim for your whole life.
Yeah.
Adam's Family Values, where they leaned into Christina Ricci being literally the star of this thing. Let's put her out there, guys. She could kill it. That movie's so funny. Anyway,
it really is.
But the thing with this movie, like we said, so it starts off. Like I said, Chris hit this. It starts very fast and it's very creepy and weird. Even the credit sequence. Of Pinker fucking around with all his TVs, but cleaning the blood off his knife and all that, and you see all the weird shit in his shop.
And he's talking like a pissed off Popeye, he's just sort of like, goddammit.
And you know what's funny is like, now this is in, no matter what he's in, this is what I think of with Mitch Pileggi. So like the entire time watching the X-Files, it's like, oh, they better not fuck around. Those two, they had better not fuck around. This dude plays for keeps, man. I've seen that movie, right?
Yeah.
But it starts out very creepy and weird, and it does kind of riff on Nightmare on Elm Street, where he can see things in his dreams, but it's not exactly like Nightmare, but it's sort of like that. And then it's like this serious type of movie. And then even in prison, it starts getting crazy with the, because he has the ritual in his cell with the candles, and he have the lips come out of the TV, which always weirded me out. But what we think the rules of the movie are going to be that he is like a energy spirit, right? And because he's energy, he can transfer from media to media, right? So he's jumping from person to person, fucking with Jonathan, basically, right? And it's like, okay, that's pretty cool. That is neat. But then we go from that, and now we're introducing like ghosts because now. You know, Allison is like a ghost and she can like guide him in the real world. And then Pinker sometimes is energy, but sometimes has mass, and energy doesn't have mass. That's what makes energy not matter. Right. Not saying energy doesn't matter, but you know what I mean?
Right.
And then, if he's energy, if he's electrical energy, then he can jump into any electrical circuit as well, which means that they can not only transfer through, conductors. Okay. But also, travel into the broadcast signal of television. So it's like, okay, the film already strains credibility up front. So the credibility is just the one like grape holding on your Fruit of the Looms, in the back. Just come on.
That's when they feel the best, though.
Just got to make it to wash day. That's all we got to do.
I like how the ghost, like, okay, he realizes his ghost girlfriend's trying to help him. But then at that one moment where he runs into her in the lake, he's like all scared of her. And then he's making out with her and he's like he's grab ass and with a ghost. He's got his girlfriend back from the dead and he's like, "Oh, we're making out." And he's like just working his way down to the butt. And it's just like, my God, man.
I would do the same thing.
Yeah. It's but hilarious. How much of that is Jonathan and how much of that is Peter Berg? I ask you. Okay.
Right.
It's funny is Peter Berg, he made movies. He's in movies up until 2018.
No, but he directed movies. Yeah, he's a director, is what he's known for. Yeah.
But he's actually in movies as an actor, too. So it's not like he said, I'm not acting anymore. I don't have the skill for it, but I'm going to keep doing it, motherfuckers. Let's go.
I've been saving this one because I actually know one of the actors. I'm good friends with one of the actors in Shocker. And I was like, I'm going to get... Yeah, my musician friend, Eugene Chadbourne, is in Shocker. And when we went to... We filmed the documentary on him when I was in college. And we went down to Greensboro, North Carolina to film him. And he had a Freddy Krueger hand. You know, and it was like, it looked like a toy. And I'm like, oh, you got the Freddy Krueger hand. He's like, I got that from Wes Craven. He likes my music and we talk all the time. He's going to put me in one of his movies. Ooh. And then I was like, finally, like years after, I go, did you ever get put in a Wes Craven movie? He's like, I was in Shocker. He was also in one of the Scream movies playing the college professor at the beginning who was, they were talking about horror tropes and stuff. That was him.
That's him?
Yeah.
Shit.
And
that's a memorable scene.
That was his. Yeah, but that's only because he did his first scene, which is sitting at a table in the bar when the kid comes in to talk to his dad.
Yeah.
He's sitting at a table at the bar with a lady, and he sort of, oh, it's a big role. He turns his head and watches him walk in and then turns back to his conversation. And then you can sort of see his outline over their shoulder at one point. I got a couple screen grabs of it just for shits and giggles.
There's no small roles, man.
Only small actors.
No, that's right. And he's not a small guy either.
He's not a small guy either, yeah. So and actually, Eugene Chadbourne, he has his own page on Wikipedia, and he's on the page for Shocker.
Nice. Yep.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, and cool.
Eugene Chadbourne is an American banjoist, guitarist, and music critic, and self-described Huguenot.
Nice Family Guy reference.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty meta. Banjoist. Family Guy, which references everything, we're now referencing.
He's a character, and he loves, loves horror movies.
He's a man of taste.
Cool. I like it.
He'll be playing his banjo and he'll stop and he'll go, I'm your new boyfriend now.
Again, not a lot of this makes a ton of sense. And I remembered, it'd been a number of years since I had seen this. And again, I mostly remember seeing this on TV. It would be on cable like when I was in college. I'm like, oh fuck yes, we're watching Shocker. And so it's like, yeah, there are some parts of this that it's like, this movie, I'm just which it okay for 1989. This movie's an hour and 51 minutes long, and it's like, nope. It's like you need again. Like I said, needed an editor. There's some parts in the middle that kind of need to be trimmed down just a little bit because this starts bogging down.
It does get a little draggy.
Then it comes back once Pinker's back on. Shit goes insane, and so you're up for it. But that middle drags a little bit. But it's like, I don't know. It's like you could have gone with either of these ideas. And so what it means is that what's one of the strengths that's always pointed at in A Nightmare on Elm Street is that in A Nightmare on Elm Street, Craven presents the rules.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then the rules are followed. And that's how Krueger, spoilers, is defeated, is because of the rules. Because we see Nancy bring something back from her dream, and the idea is that, wait a minute, if I can bring it back, I can bring him back, then he won't have any power, right? And that's the idea. It's over, you know, that a dream really can't hurt you unless you give it power. Here, the rules change without any seeming logic behind them.
Right.
The one, like I said, if Pinker is a energy-based spirit, how come Jonathan can hit him? Right? That doesn't make sense. It's right. Like that's the one that's always stuck with me. The idea of him being a spirit that's formed of a unholy union between black magic and technology, right? Because it's the ritual. And he's praying to whatever. I mean, the newscaster says he's a Satanist and a practitioner of black magic. So whatever demonic force he's praying to through the television set, right, and the jumper cables, right, that's obviously I said, a union of the supernatural and the technological. That's cool.
I heard they stopped keeping jumper cables in prisons after that incident happened.
Yeah. It's probably for the best, because if you don't ground them properly, they're more dangerous than anything.
Yeah.
But even then, the idea of him being a spirit, okay, that works, because then, much like with, you know, again, I keep coming back to this because it's the logical touch point, but with Freddy Krueger, he's in a dream. He has all the power. You can't affect him. You can't interact with him, right? If he's a spirit, you can't affect him unless he takes on physical form. And here he's taking on physical form and using up people's lives to do it. So, you know, you said it. You can't just go around, you know, killing people just to get Pinker out of their bodies. Well, that to me is where things kind of change. Because even then, it's like all this stuff with jumping around the TV and okay, fine, it's just going crazy. But it's like, that's the one. It's like, just one more pass to tighten this up. And this would have been the one that you were saying, Jay, that Craven wanted, that he could have made sequels to, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost like he started making the sequels in this one and jumped the gun. It's like,
it's so loosey-goosey, man.
Yeah.
And that being said,
he should have had one little catchphrase moment in the whole thing, and that's it. And save all that shit for when you pass it off to a lesser director in the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth movies.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, is that you remember, like, everything that's in here, and that's what the crazy part is. Like, it's like it's part of something else. Like I said, there was the run of the electrocution movies. But then he's jumping body to body, like The Hidden, jump body to body. Like there's elements of other movies here. So as you're watching this, it feels like it was, again, a bunch of different pieces and parts, Frankenstein together.
Little Videodrome in there, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, thing. There's all kinds of stuff in here, and it's like, okay, like, and it's, again, sometimes it all works. Sometimes you throw together a whole soup and you're like, I don't know what the fuck I threw in here, but it all works, right? And I'm not saying the movie doesn't work, but it's definitely, there's a reason why this is not as well regarded as other Wes Craven, you know, films, right? You know, kind of thing. Whether people like Serpent and the Rainbow or not, like, that movie's designed a certain way and looks a certain way and acts a certain way, right? You know, kind of thing, right? There's different things, and that's what happens. And it's a lot of the same stuff we see. And it doesn't have to be Wes Craven. It could be John Carpenter. It could have been Romero. Any of those great horror directors, when they have a very clear, you know, lean vision of what's happening, that's their best films. This one is, again, I like Shocker. I've seen Shocker a bunch of times. I think I have the special edition, you know, limited whatever from Scream Factory. But, like, the whole idea is that, like you said, it's like got the sequel built into it already. Like, you could have stripped that away in the whole second one. So, but be as it may, it is at the end of the day, this is a movie that a lot of people, like Luke said, this was on a lot, and a lot of people saw this movie on cable. Like, they saw it on HBO, or they saw it on Showtime, and they saw whatever. And this was a perfect, like, 1989, 1990, 91, in that range, this is a perfect, you know, like, you know, Halloween level, you know, just have it on. You're going to show all your horror movies. Shocker's one of them, because it's an easy title to remember. The poster's iconic. Mitch Pileggi, you know, is very memorable as Horace Pinker.
Pinker is fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, because I don't think he has... I you could probably count on one hand the number of lines of dialogue he has without a profanity in it.
Yeah.
I know he's a bad guy.
So.
Yeah, he's not as theatrically cool as, like, Freddy Krueger. He's more of just, like, you know, the, like, just, like, abusive guy sort of dickhead role. But, yeah, he's got it all. He's got that psycho look that, like, he could probably pass as a normal guy, and just the sheer dedication to being a just complete asshole from top to bottom, front to back, is admirable. But, like, you know, and I was taking him seriously as a threat for 2/3 of the movie. Actually, right up until the, you know, up until when they're in the, like, as soon as they're in the TV, going from TV show to TV yes. show, it just loses all horror.
Oh, no, it's a that, total, that, it's a fucking it Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Yeah, it's like a yes. Joe Dante, it's like a Joe Dante movie or something.
And, I mean, like, I kind of love that. Like, if I was just going to randomly throw this on, it's like, let me just throw on the last 20 minutes.
Well, I'm either going to watch the first 2/3 of it, or I'm going to watch the last third of it, and, you know, and then and it would, I'll be consistent watching it. But I was like, I'd never seen it before, so I had heard bad things about it, and, you know, right in the first half hour of it, I'm like, well, I'm pleasantly surprised by this. As a matter of fact, this is like a, like, where of sort of where have you been all my life 80s movie, you know. It's like a, it's like yeah. a fun 80s movie that I'd never seen that I would have really enjoyed when it came out. And yeah. I still enjoyed it up until the end, but, like, I all tension was released before, right. you know, yeah. he was defeated. It was.
It definitely goes in a different direction after yes. it had been, you know, again, that's pretty serious. And, you know, again, that first act is crazy. Right?
I love the willingness to also make a cute little girl into a psycho killer. Is
I'm yeah. always down for that.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, they're going there, and oh my god, she's climbing into some heavy machinery to kill people. This is awesome.
Two questions about that. So I watched this one with my wife last night. Okay, when he's running away, Jonathan's running away from the cop who Pinker has possessed, right?
Yeah.
He says, "Guy's a college football athlete. He can't run away from a guy who's limping."
It's dead.
Well, he's concussed. Remember, you already know.
It's all you, that's the answer to all of it. Because the next question is, okay, now again, maybe it's just me because I've done work on construction sites and stuff. How does he not hear the front end loader coming at him?
Yes. Yes.
Right on top of it. And it's because he's concussed. Exactly.
Well, it's like that Austin. Movie. It's like that Austin Powers movie where they're coming at the guy.
Yeah.
What was it, like a steamroller or something?
Just move. Yeah.
Not even the best part of that movie. The best is when he tries to do the 3-point turn in the narrow
yes.
hallway.
Yes.
I fucking die laughing every time.
Yes, again, those are the only ones. And Jay, there's a scene when he's chasing Pinker. All right, when they're chasing on foot. Okay, let's just put it up front. Okay, you know, Point Break, this is not okay as far as on you know, foot chases, but that with that notwithstanding, okay, so he goes Pinker goes up and crosses the roof on the ladder that is split between the two roofs, as one does, right? I know I leave ladders between my house and my neighbor's house all the time, right? And he jumps across it, and he finally corners. You know, Pinker can't get into the roof access door, and Jonathan, swear to God, like missile drop kicks him right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I was fucking howling rewatching this. Like, oh shit!
Like, God damn, man!
You hit him hard with it too. You know,
but Brian Coleman at home just applauding after watching this movie in 1989. You know, but
then he stops. He doesn't just keep whooping him. Yeah. Like, use all those moves, hit him with it, and it was so.
It's a good fight. I like them beating the crap out of each other on the roof. He stick because he goes in the vent. Apparently, I guess that vent is not on because Pinker has to spin it in order to put his face into it.
Yeah,
like that still hurt. I mean, I'm cool with that.
So, I just want to throw this out real quick. We've mentioned it, like a bunch of stuff. So, as we know. During the 80s, late 80s into the early 90s, it was not unheard of for, MTV or like, you know, whatever kind of like things try to like tie in as much as they could. Because we had Chucky show up and we had Freddy Krueger's, you know, kind of thing. But Horace Pinker did show up on an episode of Headbangers Ball to promote Shocker.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Flaky. In costume went on Headbangers Ball, and I'm thinking to myself, going, I feel like I've seen this, and I didn't see it live when it first aired because I probably wasn't Headbangers Ball back then, but I've definitely seen it later on. Like, it's one of those things, I feel like it might have been on one of the DVD or the Blu-ray, whatever, as a feature thing, but I definitely remember him being on as Horace Pinker, like, in character.
If he killed Ricky Rackman during the show, that would be great.
Yeah, well, hey man, come on, man. Although Ricky Rackman's how I learned how to turn my hair blue, the New York Rangers blue, because that's Prism Car Wash.
Who was he with? It wasn't Mark Messier. I remember Ricky Rackman and some member of the 1994 New York Rangers eating shrimp cocktail out of the Stanley Cup with the they had the shrimps all around the rim and the cocktail sauce.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was. I remember that though.
I think we can all agree on that one point, right? Messier was not going on MTV, right? You know.
he was fucking the man at that point, dude. I mean, you know, that's how you win the cup. So, but anyway.
Like, I'm sorry, now. Messier doesn't do cable media. I'm sorry, you know.
He was there, so. But yeah, but that's just one of those things. It's just like there was those tie-ins and stuff,
It's the perfect Headbangers Ball movie, isn't it? Like all the horror movies from that era, and the fact, and again, I understand I'm more prone being such a Cooper fan, but is there ever was a movie that needed Alice Cooper on the soundtrack? It's literally a horror movie about a guy in an electric chair.
Yeah.
I mean that's literally part of the friggin' stage show, right? So. Yeah. It's all right there. And, you know, so it's, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I know I've got an outsized level of affection for this movie because it's just so crazy and I've liked it for so long. And I've always thought Horace Pinker would be a really easy Halloween costume. Oh, right. Yeah. So, because you could also go to the wrestling convention and be Nails. It'd be easy enough.
Yes,
right?
He could be Nails.
I mean, Wes Craven, no matter how good, like, I haven't really seen a Wes Craven movie I haven't liked. I like, some are much better than others, but even the cheesiest Wes Craven movie always has something really interesting in it, or really different, or a little more intelligent or coherent than other horror movies. So there's always something to glean out of them, you know. And I'll definitely watch this movie again. I still enjoyed it even when it took the turn, but I was just kind of disappointed that, like, I wasn't in fear. I didn't have any tension anymore. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't have to worry about anything now. Now it's just like, you know, it wasn't even as scary as the part in Twilight Zone, the movie, where he put his sister into the TV. You know, that was more threatening than this one. This one was almost like the end of a Benny Hill episode, you know? It just didn't have that music, the yakety sax going.
It's fucking bonkers. And it's like, how can you get sucked into it because it's so goddamn ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, the second he becomes the Baka Lounge, you're like, what the fuck is going on with this movie?
I heard that was the inspiration for Cherry on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Cherry.
Oh,
good morning, Pee-wee.
I will say this. I got to give it credit. That jump scare actually got my wife. When the arms jump up on the chair, that was like the one thing that got her, right? And you know, my wife's not much of a horror fan, but she's always good for pointing out things in the logic, right? And this was the one that stuck with her last night, as all the ridiculous things in this movie, right? And we've enumerated a good number of them here. She's like, you're really going to go searching for a locket at the bottom of a lake at night?
Yes.
And she just said from the other room, I personally like
that. And look, if your ghost chick is telling you to do it, you do it.
Especially if you want to, get a little piece of ghost ass later on. Right. You know?
Fuck yeah. Can't get ghost ass pregnant, you know? Yeah. Unless you have a ghost, baby.
And you get ghost.
Speaking of jump scares, I watched this.
Don't want Ghost Baby. That movie's god awful.
Baby, it's a different movie. Yeah.
I love the baby. The baby's great. I watched The Thing last night because Martin's like, yeah, I know you want to watch some horror movies. I'm like, all right, I'm putting on The Thing. And the blood test scene, She fucking hit the ceiling.
The thing in 4K.
That gets everybody the first time.
What's one of the it's one of the scariest parts of the movie, jump scare wise. Yeah. And it has one of the funniest fucking lines in it too at the very end of the scene.
Yeah. This fucking couch. Thanks, Gary. But the funny part is that since, you know, Kelly doesn't watch a lot of horror movies with me, kind of thing, and so what I love showing her movies that I know have scares in them, right? That kind of thing. Yeah. Like, it's never as good. Took her to see The Exorcist in the theater. Like, literally, I was like, I know she's gonna be on like a fucking like cat on the ceiling with this thing. She was coming unglued. But like certain things, I know are gonna pop her. Like, I'm like, she has no idea this is coming. Yep. Right, kind of thing. Like, so the blood test, whatever. But like Kelly didn't watch Shocker with me, but I could just see, like, she would just probably just start shaking her head. Like, are you kidding? Like, you know, she's not a horror person. She's like, this is insane. Like, this is nuts. So, although what it doesn't have though is a turkey. You know, Horace Pinker doesn't possess a turkey at any point. And decide to try to kill people. Oh, sorry, that's Horror Show. That's a different movie. Horror Show is so good, but it's so fucking cheesy because it's like, oh my god, really? It's
well,
like,
then, you know what? It's this great thing I've got in this notebook. It's got all the horror rack hangers on that are playing. So what? Horror Show? Why not? You know what though? We've said it before. There's no idea so good that we won't rip it off, even if it's our own idea.
Yes. And you can always count on us to plagiarize ourselves. I, for one, welcome our new
Well, I've got half of next year already programmed already on the show at this point. It's fantastic.
Thank God somebody does something on this show. I just show up and make stupid jokes.
Your talent. That's what you do, man.
I feel like I'm Kenny Blankenship on MXC sometimes.
Wait a minute. If you're Kenny Blankenship, who's Vic Romano then? And then more importantly, then who's
Guy LaDouche?
Who's Guy LaDouche?
I was just going to say, I don't know who you're talking about, but I hear LaDouche and it's got to be me, right?
Oh, yeah. I don't know, but Chris, you've never seen MXC at all?
I don't even know what MXC is.
It's on Tubi.
Oh my god!
They took Takeshi's Castle. It was a Japanese game show.
And they
dub over it with, and it, they make it fucking ridiculous. And it's one of the funniest fucking things you will ever watch.
Oh.
Hello, Tiger Lily. Like where they took them out of the movie and just put a whole new soundtrack. But it's like everyone's name is like. Guy LaDouche is like the most tame one of all of them, but everything is a playoff or whatever. And it just, but some of the stuff that happens in that show is so funny that literally we were here when I first got married, right after we first got married, Kelly had her knee operation. We had everyone over for Easter and we're watching because we were still waiting for the TV was still on the ground because the piece of furniture hadn't come yet. We're watching an episode. I'm watching here. I'm laughing so hard. I'm like hyperventilating. People thought I was choking.
Oh,
and dying.
I do the same thing. It pops me every time.
Yeah, I know it's coming. And then they show the best fuck ups of the week at the end. You know, like, it's like
most painful eliminations of the day.
And Haley has tried to watch it with us. Kelly and I are crying. And Haley's like, okay. And I'm like, you gotta. But
if it's any consolation, my kids love it because they love Wipeout. And so this is like the more extreme version of Wipeout.
Oh, it's better than Wipeout because the commentary is...
Even I'm saying if you go and watch... So I've found... There are a couple episodes of Takeshi's Castle. Like, actually, the Japanese one. In fact, there's a fan sub outfit that actually subtitled a few of them. Right? Like, you can find the first hour-long episode of Takeshi's Castle fully fan-subbed online. But Takeshi's Castle ran in the UK and other English-speaking markets... where they just had a guy just providing commentary, but otherwise played it straight. So you're watching like straight up where they have to do like the full, like the, it follows the actual Japanese line where they got to get to the castle and storm the castle at the end.
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's like, it's unspeakably funny. If you like, if you're a guy and you're like slapstick, because that's what it is, but it's like, it's unscripted slapstick. It's just people trying to get through something and crashing and, you know, wiping out.
The name of the games on this, Honeywell, just so that you will want to watch it. Log Droppers, Rotating Surfboard of Death.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got. We got,
Boulder Dash.
Boulder Dashed. Yeah.
Giant rock.
What's the other one? Pole Riders.
And I will say, and my brother's favorite, and the one that is on there way more often than it ever was, to the fact that they started editing it in from other episodes to catch these castles, is Sinkers and Floaters.
Sinkers and Floaters.
Oh my god, I love Sinkers and Floaters.
Yeah, that's...
The best is the guy we would like come across, and like he hits it, and he's so confident. And then like he goes to the next one, but you think it's going to be a sinker, but it's not. And that fucking thing hits him right in the ribs, and you're like, that guy totally just cracked all his ribs. And I'm pissed at myself. It's so fucking funny. I'm serious. Haley has watched someone with us. Sometimes she'll laugh, but a lot of times she didn't. But she loved Wipeout. I said, how can you like Wipeout and not love this show? But to her, she was a little younger. She wasn't getting all the jokes, right? Like the name jokes and whatever. Now I think she'd appreciate it more because she's older. But like, just when you go on the log roll and you get hit between it and you bounce between the fucking things.
Oh yeah, and scorpion yourself. Oh god, it's amazing.
So be sure to check out Don't Get Eliminated, our MXT podcast, coming soon on this very network.
That podcast would just be me cackling the entire time.
If you want to hear my brother laugh, just put this on repeat, and that's your episode. There you go.
I'm putting a link to this in the chat for you, Honeywell, because trust me, you're gonna smoke a bowl and you're gonna watch this and you're gonna fucking die laughing.
I need a new Trailer Park Boys. I need a new thing that I can watch.
Oh, there's no continuity, I'm gonna lose
my shit.
This is just 23 minutes of pure hilarity per episode.
Oh my god! No, get eliminated. Oh.
But anyway,
yeah, that is a tagline for my wife and I now.
Don't get eliminated. Please.
Don't get eliminated. Right, you are, Ken.
Oh,
nice.
I will say one last thing about MXC. There is a line from MXC that I use all the time. Anytime somebody says that's an urban legend, I say I didn't know they played basketball.
All right, we've clearly run out of material.
Yeah, I mean, so let me do this. Okay, so. So if you want to watch Shocker, okay, you've got some options. It is streaming on Peacock.
Oh.
It is available on, so it is on DVD. I have a double feature DVD. Actually, it's a double feature of Shocker and The People Under the Stairs. So if you want your
double feature.
Yeah, so if you want your post-nightmare, pre-scream Wes Craven fix.
Oh.
And what's neat about that set, it's actually two separate discs. So if you want to take it and split it and get art for the two of them, you can do that too. If you want to go that route.
Don't sleep on People Under the Stairs. That's
yeah, we need to cover that one. It's been a long time since I watched People Under the Stairs.
It's been so long since I watched it that I don't really remember much about it, except that I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Also,
and it was also kind of unhinged. Yeah,
well, that's pretty fucking nuts at the end too. Yeah. So, real quick, Shocker Collector's Edition. That's the one with the alternative artwork. It has a reversible cover. That's Scream Factory or Shout Factory. That's like $18 on Amazon. But the brand new just came out. Collector's Edition 4K Ultra High Def with the Blu-ray of Shocker just landed. No, excuse me. It's October 29th coming out. Kind of thing. So, oh my God. Oh, sorry. The MXC stuff, I was laughing so hard I hurt myself.
That's the idea. But like,
dude, it's the thing is, if you want to see Shocker, there's ways to go see it. I haven't seen the 4K thing, but I can tell you the collector's edition, it's pretty much everything that there's for that movie. It's on there, so they go all out. I know. Some people are, not big into physical media, still, if you are a physical media guy, you know, kind of thing, you enjoy collecting that stuff. The collector's edition stuff from Scream Factory usually are bang on. So
speaking of physical media, if anybody has the soundtrack on vinyl and they want to make me an album, purchase it, I will happily entertain it.
I'll keep that, my eye out for it.
That soundtrack is hard to come by because I don't know how. I don't shop vinyl, but I'm always on the lookout for tapes and stuff like that. And that is one that if I ever found it on tape, I would buy. And I've never seen a copy of it. And it's one of those ones that I think you hear anecdotes about. Man, I wore that tape out listening to that one. You know, that kind of thing. So it is a, and I will say, as of this recording, the Internet Archive is currently down. It yes. got hit with a it got hit with a DDoS attack last week as we're recording this, and so they do have some messages up that all the data is safe. It's just they're assessing their security and such, but it is on the archive. So if you go searching on archive.org, you can find that soundtrack too if you want to give it a spin.
There's a record store down the street that specializes in like blues and jazz and stuff like that, but they also they have a huge used supply record collection there, obviously, because it's all like older stuff that they deal with. But it's the place where I go to like look for, because like the Shocker soundtrack there could probably sit in there unmolested because the clientele are not looking for the Shocker soundtrack at all. And the owner was probably like, oh, the Shocker soundtrack, $5, you know?
Yeah, let me put it this way. A cursory glance on Discogs means it ain't coming home with me for less than $2. So
that's the thing, though, is he probably wouldn't look up, since that's not the specialty of his shop and his the owner's tastes and stuff, he probably isn't looking. I don't think he really looks up a lot of the soundtracks. He mostly probably bases what he prices them on what he paid for them, you know?
Yeah.
So, sure. So you know, there's a chance. There's a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Got a chance.
And if you want to watch MXC, it's on Tubi.
So. It is on Tubi, yeah.
Yes, there you go. Have some yucks with the back half of Shocker and then throw on MXC and piss your pants laughing for
try and determine which one is less realistic.
Ooh, there you go.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS. Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of Two True Freaks.
Test, test, say duh. Good luck.